Be the fourth and the final message in this series on the message that we're giving as called Rebuke the Devourer. This one we'll be looking at the rest of the little booklet notes that I've given you, but I really want you to see the ultimate of tithing is to become a tithe. So we'll deal with that, but we'll close with a thought from the book of Joshua, where a man named Achan touched the accursed thing and became accursed. And the tithe is the Lord's, and it's holy. And if you mess with it, you're under a curse. You become the accursed thing. So we'll look at that. But on page 47, I want you to see that the tithe, in its original and its purest sense, was given by God as a form of worship, and that simply passing the offering plates is missing the whole gist and the whole meaning of the way that it should be. It should be a time of jubilance and a time of getting loud and a time of worshiping and praising Him. That's what it was meant to be. But we drop our lip as we drag out our pen and our checkbook and write a check, and it becomes a very dreadful and sorrowful time. And God intended it to be completely the opposite. Now, the enemy will do that with every principle of God that he's ever given, that God's ever given to you. The enemy will take that thing and turn it completely around in your carnal mind. And what should be pleasing and fun to do, the enemy will take it and make it a real drudgery. So, look in your Bible at Deuteronomy chapter 12 again. You need to see this, and the reason most of these scriptures are in the notes, but I just want you to read them in your Bible and maybe make some underlines. Deuteronomy chapter 12. I want to read verse 11, 12, and I'll probably read 13 and 14. Then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Now, in your life, where is that place? You need to establish that. Where is the place that the Lord has chosen for us to come together corporately, that this is where the Lord shall dwell? When we together come together as many members of a body, and we form together, we form one body, where is it? Right here. That's not, that wasn't a trick question. It's right here, the first assembly of God in Lafayette. Now, this is the place that God has so ordained that you be at. He's chosen it that way. Thither shall you bring, there's that word, all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice vows which you vow unto the Lord. I'm going to go back and pick up some of this in a minute, but I want to get to the 12th verse. And you shall what?
Rejoice.
Before the Lord your God, you, your sons, your daughters, your men servants, your maid servants, and even the Levite gets to do it, that is within your gates, for as much as he hath no part nor inheritance with you. And now that word rejoice, I want you to read it with me. It's on page 47 of your notes. It's in the bottom paragraph. And I guess I need to read the whole thing so that you'll find it, because I want you to see this. We can bring that right into the New Testament with 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man according to as he prospereth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Yet when the offering plate is passed, we drop our tithe, our offering, our dollar, into the plate and sit there. What a wonderful opportunity we are missing to worship the Lord of the universe. I wrote that. That's good. Wouldn't it be great if we stood and sang and shouted and danced? Let me tell you what this word rejoice means. Here it is. Strong's number 8055 in the front Hebrew section says, to brighten up, to make gleesome. Young's Concordance says, to shine, be glad. Wilson says, the primary idea seems to be that of a smiling, cheerful, merry countenance, free of care, free from care, sometimes of a louder joy, hence to rejoice before Jehovah. And singing and dancing. Now that's what that little word rejoice means. And the enemy has taken that thing and twisted it. Will the ushers please come forward? Boy, we need to get happy. We need to have a big time when we take up the offering and the tithes. It should be fun. The last sentence. The tithe, in its purest and original meaning, was for worship. God is going to show us this year some things about praise and worship that we didn't know. And if you'll find the very first time that the word worship is used in the Bible, you'll find it in Genesis 22, verse 5. And it's where Abraham took Isaac up on Moriah. And do you know what Abraham was going up there to do? He's going up there to worship. But do you know what he was going to do? Put the knife to the thing that he loved the most. Now, why would you think that God would take money and use it as a form of worship? Because most of us have not yet learned to take the knife to the thing that we love the most. Am I right? We'll never learn what worship really is until we can take the knife to the thing that we love the most and give it to God. That's worship. And God's going to be showing us some things about worship and praise this year. You know why? Because I'm asking Him to. I want this to be a praising assembly. And when people come in here, they just get caught up in the praise of it. And the rejoicing. I don't want them to be able to go to any other assembly in this city and find a place where they clap their hands when they take up the offering. Who ever heard of such? Those people are crazy. They love to give. Isn't that contrary to the carnal mind? But isn't that our God? You see, the carnal mind is enmity. Enmity to God. Hates it. God hates the carnal mind. Okay. I'm on page 48, and I'm fixing to deal with something that is tough to deal with. It's concerning, first of all, I'm going to deal with where the tithes go. But then I'm going to deal with the offering. First of all, I'm going to convince you that the tithe comes here, all of it. And then I'm going to deal with the offerings. I want to read there on page 48, point D. Where are the tithes given? If I am not careful here, I will make some folks mad. I will let the scriptures speak for themselves. We have already seen one of the scriptures in Deuteronomy 12:11, but I want to back up to verse 8. Deuteronomy 12:8 says, "Ye shall not do after all the things that you do here this day, which is every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes." Now, is that the mentality of the Christian world today? I'm going to do what I want to do because I want to do it. It's right in my eyes, so I'm going to do it. And if I want to go to church today, I'll go to church. And if I want to pay tithes today, then I'll pay tithes. And if I want to praise the Lord today, then I'll praise the Lord. And if I want to clap my hands, then I'll clap my hands. But if I want to sit here, I'll sit here. And if I want to stay home and watch television, I'll stay home and I'll watch television. Is that the mentality? Tell me. But God says, don't do that. Don't do whatsoever is right in his own eyes. Do what the scripture says to do. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. If you don't pay tithes, you're under a curse. Is that what the Bible says? If there is anything I see today, this day, is people doing whatsoever is right in his own eyes concerning tithes and offerings, perhaps it is because we just don't know better. We need to see some things in God's word concerning giving. So if I upset you, I don't mean to. I just want to bring out the word. Is that all right? Okay. So you're not going to get mad at me. Okay. God chooses the place that your tithes and your offerings go. Back in Deuteronomy 12, you should be open there right now. Let's go back up to verse 11. Then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. There, thither, shall you bring some of what you want to bring. All of what? Does it stop there? All that I command you. Then he gives us a list. Your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice vows which you vow unto the Lord. It's not just bringing your tithe. You bring your body as a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable under him. That's the burnt offering part. Then you sacrifice your mind, your thinking. That's the sacrifice part. We're talking about the tithes. Heave offerings with your hands is your praise part. And all the other offerings is incorporated in that. And Jesus says, don't even make vows. So I'm not even going to talk about that. And when you do that, then you can rejoice, verse 12, which we got just a minute ago. Now drop down to verse 13. Take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest. What does that mean? You can't send your money wherever you want to send your money, but in the place which the Lord shall choose. In one. How many is one? Not a trick question. Simple. Is it two? In one of thy tribes. Churches. There thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, and there thou shalt do some of all that I command thee. Now, I'm going to balance this, but I'm just wanting you to see the basic principle of what God tells us to do. And let me get it right now out why he wants it this way. Have we seen that the tithe must come here? Have I got that across in these three messages so far, that the tithe has got to come here? Now, the reason that the tithe has got to come here is because we are one body, one flesh, members fitly joined together. Now, corporately, we can accomplish much. But if we've got 50 people sending their tithes to 50 different ministries, what can we accomplish? We will be in a 55 by 40 building until Jesus comes. And maybe can't pay for that. Do you see what I'm saying? The tithe must come here. Let's go to Malachi. You know where that's at. Been there a bunch of times. Malachi, chapter 3. Verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. How many of you really would like to see the Shekinah glory of God that filled that tabernacle of Moses? Cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. How many? That's what he's saying. Come back to my ordinances, come back to my teachings, come back to all the ways that I've commanded you, and you'll see it. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Let me tell you what he's saying. He's saying, how can we return to you? Then he's fixing to go directly into tithes and offerings. He wants you to return to him in tithes and offerings. Will a man rob God? What's the answer? Yes, sir. Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? Here it is, in tithes and offerings. So see, it's not just tithes, it's tithes and offerings. Are we getting it? Tithes and offerings. I'm building. Now, because of this, it says, you are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even the whole nation. I'll leave it alone. Now, here's what I want. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now. Now, where do you bring it? Storehouse. Now, what is a storehouse? A storehouse is where grain was kept. Not milk. And not water. That would be a cow or a well. We're talking grain. We're talking something to eat on. We're talking seed. And the sower went forth and sowed seed. I'm sowing seed every time I get up here. I'm planting some seed. And you know what? It's busting out of the ground. Now that's where you bring the tithe and the offering. And I'm going to balance all this. I really am. So hang with me tight. But you got to see, first of all and foremost, that the tithe and the offering has got to come here. Now, I told you why the tithe has to come here. Why the offerings? Same purpose, same reasons. If we are sending our tithes in 50 different directions, and we send our offerings in 50 different directions, we still will accomplish absolutely zilch nothing as a body. Nothing. Where when corporately, we could accomplish so much. Now, let me, page 48, down about halfway of the page, there it says Malachi 3, 7 through 12. You see it? See it? Okay, I'm going to read it. Underline that principle. Verse 8, ask a question. Will a man rob God? Yes, sir, is the obvious answer. How? In tithes and offerings. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now. Where do we bring them? Into the storehouse. The house of God, the local assembly, church gathering, whatever you want to call it, the tithes and offerings, do not go to other ministries outside your local assembly. So many of God's people are, now I'm going to say something really tough here, but I'm going to balance it. So hang with me. Don't get mad at me. So many of God's people are so deceived today and tricked by their soulish emotions. Somebody says, but those preachers are so good, and they are really getting people saved. Where does Malachi say bring it? Storehouse. Jesus did not say to get people saved. He said to make disciples. Now that's kind of different. It goes against tradition a little bit there, but that's what Jesus said. Go into all the world and make disciples. Oh, yeah, that bounced around good. What about those people with their bellies stuck out? Now, that's mean. I know that sounds mean. But why do you think they show you those pictures? Does it touch your spirit or does it touch your emotions?
Emotions.
Where am I? The answer is still storehouse. A church with a vision for missions will help minister to those. Well, I'm just not getting fed. Then move to a storehouse where you will get fed. We do just like Deuteronomy 12:8, Judges 7:16, and 21:25 says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Is that right? People say, I think I feel to do. Who cares what you think or what I think or feel? What does the Word say? There it is. What is that? What's the next word? That's what the Word says. Storehouse. And the place where he shall put his name is what it says. There is nothing wrong with giving to the poor. I will touch that in a moment. The principal point here is that the tithe and offering go to the storehouse. Now go to page 49. Let me give you some balance. Try to sum this thing up. This is tough. This is tough teaching. On page 49 at the bottom, I'm going to read that last paragraph. Are you saying that scripturally I cannot give to the poor people or any person if I so desire? What do I say? No. That is not what I am showing. I am showing that the tithes and offerings comes into the storehouse. I will make it as plain as I can. Your tithes and your offerings do not go to TV and radio ministries. You need to understand the offerings, and I do not have time to teach them here. But there were several different types of offerings. There was the burn offering, the meal offering, the drink offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering. These are for the most part, fulfilled in your life becoming a living sacrifice or offering. I said all that to say this. Once all your obligations are fulfilled at the local assembly, which is the place God has chosen to place his name, and it is the storehouse, then, if you desire to bless someone, then that is the time. I will discuss giving and lending to the poor next. We are taught to give to the poor and needy. We are not taught. Say it again. We are not taught to give offerings to other storehouses or ministries. I'll say it again. We are not taught to give offerings to other storehouses or ministries. I know that does not sit real nice with some folks, but that is what the Word teaches. Now, here's the balance. First, the reason. We cannot accomplish what God sets forth for every assembly to accomplish unless we do it by the Scriptures. It will not work. He cannot bless it. All right. If you do not give scripturally, are you under a curse? All right. If your household, your family is therefore under a curse, and you come into here, does that curse stop at the door, or does it come into here? You see, we have to move into this thing as a corporate, many-membered man. Return unto me, God says, and I will return unto you. Get my ordinances right, and then look at what I will do. I'll pour you out a blessing. I'll open the windows of heaven, and you won't even have room to hold it. Okay. That's the reasons. Balance. I listed you about seven of those offerings. There are also free will offerings and voluntary offerings. After the obligations have been met at the storehouse, at the place that God chooses, then if you so desire to bless other people, give away your money, then that is your prerogative. But the primary importance is that this storehouse, I'll lay it out plain, this assembly, this church, if it is New Testament, if you're getting fed, if this is the place where God's put you and you know He's put you here and you believe with all of your heart that there is a work going forth and going to be done right here, you bring it here first. And then your voluntary and your free will offerings goes from that. Have I made it clear? Has to be. That's the only way it works. cannot work any other way. Now, the reason that I went through so much of this, and it really hurt sometimes to teach the word, because I know that some of you have such a giving heart. You give to other ministries. You support other ministries. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing. All I say, all I want to show you is that there is a work going on here first. Is anybody else out there besides Fred? That's what I want you to see. When I feel that my children in the natural are being taken for a ride, that's not a good way to put it. Could utilize their money better. That's a better way of putting it. I tell them, don't I? Now, all I'm saying, I'm trying to show you here, I've showed you a whole lot of scriptures. They're right here for you to look at. Don't allow your carnal mind and emotions to rule over the Word of God. I have seen those pictures, and they are sad. But if a church is New Testament, now hear me, if a church is honestly and truly New Testament, it's going to raise up missionaries. It's going to raise up mission-minded people. It's going to have a vision for ministries to go forth that way, and it's going to support it. Now, balance this. We are not doing all we need to do in that realm yet. We are going to begin to at least do our part. I'm teaching you tithing. The church then also has to reciprocate and tithe. We have to get mission-minded. We have to send forth a tenth of what God prospers us with. Getting it? To missions. If we don't, we're stopping it. What did the New Testament church do? You've been taught about Antioch. Did they raise up ministry? Did they send forth ministry? Did they support overseas ministries? Did they went, even when Jerusalem got in a mess down there with a famine, did they support Jerusalem? Sure. So hear what I'm trying to tell you. That's all I want you to do. Open your thinking. We have been lax in that area, but it's my fault in that area, but I'm going to fix that. I want to leave this. Can I leave this? I'm going to skip most of this from here on out. I do want to get this while I'm right here at it. Are you still in Malachi? Okay. Look at there. I want you to see verse 11. If you do what the Word of God says to do, if you get back into the ordinances of God, and if you come to God in the way that He says come to Him, and He comes back to you, this is what you can expect. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. What does the devourer mean? The word devour, I've got it in your notes for you, but let me just give it to you. The word devour means to eat, burn up, consume, burn away. Now, what's he going to eat? Burn up, consume. Your funds, your monies, your prosperities. And it's like a bag with holes in it. Right? Haggai. Now, if you do it according to New Testament ordinances, he will rebuke the devourer. If you do not, will he rebuke the devourer? Then he will come, burn up, eat, and consume your funds. They will never make ends meet. I don't care how much money you make, you'll never have enough to pay your bills. That is the curse. I have lived in the curse, and I've lived in the blessing. Do you know which one's best? Let's just read this on down. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of its field, shall saith the Lord of hosts. And all denominations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, do you know what the Lord really showed me? And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Do you know what the fruit of my ground is? It's my ministry, sure, in the spiritual realm, but there they sit. You see, he cannot, if I'm paying tithes and they're in my household, he cannot, the destroyer cannot get my fruit, my children. This is a big blessing. But I like it when all denominations call us blessed. Okay, let's go on. I'm going to skip page 50, 51. You can get that. And 52, that's about lending to the poor and the needy. Okay, Deuteronomy 16 and 16. I want to show you something that I saw in the Word several years ago. Taught it. It is the 23.3%. Point G on page 53 of your notes. There are three basic feasts of Israel. Passover, which you basically know, which is also called the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of First Fruits. Then there's Pentecost, which came 50 days later. That's why it was called Pente, which means 50, Pentecost. Also called the Feast of Weeks. Then there's Tabernacles. And included in Tabernacles was trumpets and the Day of Atonement. Now, seven feasts made up these three basic times, three different weeks during the year. God called a solemn feast. And every male was told to be there at these three feasts. And he was also told not to come empty-handed. You come with something to give to the Lord. Don't come empty-handed. We're fixing to read it. Now, the way this works and why it worked this way, the Feast of Unleavened Bread or Passover or First Fruits, which was one feast, one seven-day feast, was at the feast time of the harvest of barley. And if I was a farmer and I raised barley, that feast came at the time of the first fruits of barley. Very convenient, because as I harvested, I would take my tenth, my tithe, and I'd give it at that feast. And every male, every Jew male, every Hebrew male had to do the same thing. 50 days later, there was another feast called Pentecost, Feast of Weeks. At this feast, it was the time of the harvesting of wheat, if I raised wheat on my farm. At the harvest time, I would take that wheat, take it to the feast, and pay my tithe. Later on, there was the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, this Feast of Tabernacles was the time of the harvesting of fruit, olives, dates. And if I was a farmer and I raised fruit, then it was very convenient, you see. God had it set up so good. At that feast, they'd go and they'd pay their tithes. Now, most of us, have a harvest every week, or every other week, or at least once a month. And you are to come and have a feast. Now, we don't look at it that way, but we're going to start looking at it that way. You come to the feast every week. Why? So you can pay your tithe. So you can get into a worship and a rejoicing before the Lord because of all of the good things He's done for you and rebuking the devourer. We come to a feast. Church should be a feast. Boy, isn't that good? Come and boy, just eat and have a good time. Boy, just rejoice before the Lord and pay our tithes. Is this catching at all? I want it contagious. I want it to be fun to come and let those plates go around. And boy, just rejoice before the Lord. Because the Bible says that He loveth a cheerful giver. So that was the purpose of the feast. Now, Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which He shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty. How many times, though, whether it might be here or at some other feast, have you allowed that offering plate to go by and you've appeared before the Lord empty? Shouldn't do that. Ought to pull out a dollar and drop it in that plate. Don't appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which He hath given thee. If I was a farmer and I raised livestock, I could bring it to any of these feasts. So what I'm trying to show you here is this is the first and main type of tenth, main type of tithe. It is the one that we relate to. We bring our tithe. We bring our tenth. This is the one that we relate to. This is the first one. And I want to show you the second one, page 54. Now that tenth, that tithe, it went to the Levite for the upkeep of the tabernacle. Where does your tithe go? The one that I just explained. What is the purpose of that tithe? Primary purpose. For the upkeep of your Levite. And your Levite is to upkeep your tabernacle. Now, I'm not talking about this thing here. Is my primary purpose to upkeep this tabernacle or this tabernacle? Ah, you're getting it. You see? The primary purpose of the Levite is to keep up your tabernacle. Now, Deuteronomy 14:24. That was one tenth. How many of you like to go to seminars and conventions and boy, just have a good time at some of these things that you go to before the Lord? Do you know that God has a plan in His book for that? I'll show you. Verse 24, Deuteronomy 14. Now, just showed you that three times a year He goes to these feasts. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far for thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set His name there, when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, this is what you're supposed to do. Then shalt thou turn in thy money, and bind up the money in thine hand, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. Let me read that verse again. Then shalt thou turn it into money. There is a portion of the tithe that was set aside as a savings account, a tenth, and that was turned into money so that the Hebrew could go to these feasts. And you know what? He took his whole family. And thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen, or for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or for whatsoever thy soul desires. And thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household. God has it planned in His book so that three times a year you can go to conventions or seminars or whatever your soul lusteth after. You can drink the wine of the Spirit, the strong drink. That's the second time. Did you know that? You didn't know that. Say, no, Brother Young, I didn't know that. Well, you know it now. So start putting back a tithe to spend on whatsoever you lusteth after in the spirit. And go to some of these conventions and get you some strong drink. Be filled with new wine. Rejoice before the Lord. That's good. That's another tithe. Okay. And the Levite that is within thy gates, forsake him. Don't forsake him. For he hath no part of inheritance with thee. Now here's what I want. At the end of 3 years, this is the third one. At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all thy tithe and thine increase in the same year, and shalt lay it upon thy gates. Lay it up within thy gates. And the Levite, because he hath no part in nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in the work of thine hand which thou doest. Now what that means is once every third year, another tithe was taken. This is the third one. But it was only taken once every third year. So if you figured it on a yearly basis, it was one third. Or 0.3%. It was also given, but it was the benevolence fund. And a New Testament church should have a benevolence outreach. Yeah. To reach out to who? The strangers, the fatherless, and the widows. Now we need that. Separate total tithe. Total tithe is working out to 23.3%. It's a little more than 10%, isn't it? Now, you can look at all that later. All right. Let me finish this thing up. These things that I've shared with you so far are really fundamental. And they're really things that you should have already known or suspected, and things that by my sharing them and showing them to you has clarified and helped you. But they are the basic fundamental teaching on tithing. Nothing depth. Now, go to Matthew chapter 23. Let me give you a spiritual outlook at this thing real quick. Matthew 23, verse 23. Did Jesus say you ought to tithe? He sure did. And here we have it. And I'm going to look at it. Explain this scripture to you. Matthew 23:23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you pay tithe on mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not leave the others undone, you blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. The Pharisees of that day are just like the Pharisees of this day. They figure out their mint and their cumin and their anise to the tenth, to the grain, and they'd pay it. But what they wasn't judging, what they wasn't paying, was judgment upon their self, was mercies to other people, and faith in God. Now, explain. Is it easier for you to sit down and write a tithe out, write a check out for 10% of your income? Is it easier to do that or to judge yourself? Is it easier to pay your tithe or to get the junk out of your life? It's easier to pay tithes. Is it easier for you to sit down and write a check out or for you to really give mercy
to somebody who's hurt you? What's the easiest? Pay tithes. Is it easier for you to sit down right back there and write out a check and pay your tithes, or to come up here and lay hands on somebody and believe God to have faith in them to heal them? To lay hands on a dead man and ask him to raise up in Jesus' name. What's the easiest? It was the easier for the Pharisees too. And they'd sit down, just like we do today. You know before you come in these doors how much to the very penny your tithe is. You got it figured out. And you can sit down and you can write that check out. You've strained at that gnat. You've sat down and you've strained and you've figured and got your calculator out. Strained it than that. It's a lot easier to do that than get the junk out of your life. It's a lot easier to do that than give mercy to somebody who's hurt you. It's a lot easier to do that than go to the hospital and pray for somebody. It's a lot easier. We are just like them. And the whole time we're straining at our gnat. We're swallowing. We're swallowing the biggest, the largest, unclean animal in all Palestine, the camel. We're getting one done, but we're leaving the other undone. Which one does God want you to do? Both. These you ought to have done, but don't leave the other undone. Don't strain at a gnat and hate your brother. Don't strain at a gnat and cuss your wife. That's good, ain't it? Have we changed? Pharisees, Jesus. Hypocrites. Wow. That scripture is also in Luke. Jesus says you ought to do your tithes. But the more weightier matters, mercy, judgment, faith. And I can sit down and I can pay my tithe. And I understand judgment and mercy and faith. But until I get into the third realm, see, one's 30-fold. Sit down and write out my check. One's 60-fold, judgment, mercy, and faith. But one's 100-fold. Becoming the tithe. In Isaiah 66, verse 13, I'll just tell you where it's at. God calls a people, a tithe. And then in Revelation chapter 14, there is a tithe. There is a first fruits company. There's a first fruits people that are off of Zion first. What is Zion? Do you remember? What is Zion? Zion is the church, folks. We read that scripture this morning. Over there in Deuteronomy, Leviticus, where it talks about all the sheep that pass under the rod. Out of 10, one of those sheep becomes the tenth, becomes the tithe under the Lord, and becomes holy. I want to be a tithe. I want to be a sheep that's holy. I want to be a first fruit unto God and the Lamb. Revelations 14, verse 4 and 5. I want to go off of Zion. Whether that 144,000 is the literal 144,000 or not, I don't know. But I know I'm the Jew. I know I'm the seed of Abraham. I know I'm the Israel of God. And I want to become a tithe. I don't want to pay tithe. And I don't want to just understand judgment and mercy and faith. I want to belong to Him. To who it all belongs anyway. I want to be the one out of 10. I want to become a first fruits. Let me close this up. Turn, if you will, to Joshua chapter 7. I'll close this with a warning. This has been a long teaching. I understand that. But I wanted to get this on this tape. You think these tapes will help anybody? Joshua chapter 6 and chapter 7 tell us a story about a man named Achan. Some people call him Achan. And as they crossed the Jericho River and prepared to attack Jericho, God gave them battle instructions. And he told them not to touch anything. Don't take anything. This is a first fruits to me. Jericho is my first fruits in the land that I promised you. I want all the gold, I want all the silver, and I want all the brass to come into my sanctuary. Other than that, I want it utterly destroyed. You know the story. They crossed, they marched around the walls of Jericho, a total of 13 times. The walls fell down flat. The man Achan went in, he took silver and gold in a Babylonian garment. Chapter 7, verse 21. Achan speaking, and he says, "And when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold, of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it." We have this treasure, Paul said, in an earthen vessel, and a tabernacle in a tent. And God's told me what's holy. He's been telling you for 2 weeks what's holy. I can take it. I can bring it back. I can take that thing that God says don't touch it. It's mine. And I can take it and I can use it for my own life, hide it in my own tent. But it is an accursed thing to me. And what happens to Achan is he's stoned to death, but not just him, his whole family. His whole family. Because you see, they knew, they understood. The warning that I'm giving you is this, and you can relate all of this. Just take it and read the 6th and the 7th chapters, and you'll find out. The tithe is holy, and it's God's. If you mess with it, you're cursed. And the curse is not just upon you, it's upon your whole family. Take it and hide it in your tent if you want. Use it for your own good. You will die. You're cursed with a curse. Stand. Turn to Exodus chapter 25. Okay, are tithes given or paid? Paid. All right. We know where the tithe goes, right? We've learned that. It goes where?
Storehouse.
Good. Okay. Now, if you got your notes, turn to page 48. And I want to hit this, point E. I don't know how I missed it. But I got to give this to you because I got to plant this seed in us. Point E, to whom are the tithes? And I've got given on my notes. I struck it and put paid. Numbers 18:21 through 32 tells the primary place that the tithe goes, the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. It went to the Levites. That was their inheritance or pay for ministering to the people. The tithe first goes to the inheritance of the ministry of the local assembly or church. All of it. No, I'm asking a question. All of it? No. That is why it is called a storehouse. Storehouse means treasury. Every 3 years, benevolence tithe was taken, Deuteronomy 14:28, in addition to the regular tithe, and this was given to the stranger, the followers, to the widow, Deuteronomy 14:29. I covered that. But what I'm wanting to get here, the tithes were taken and given in the storehouse for what purpose? What was the primary purpose? Levite. Secondary purpose was so that you can spend time with the people of God, have a big time, conventions and stuff like that, get some new wine. Third purpose was so that the fatherless and the widows and all of that can, okay. What I'm trying to get to is this. Here it is. Was the tithe used to construct the tabernacle of Moses in which the glory of God dwelt? You got the right answer. You do. No, it was not. How did they construct that glorious thing in which God dwelt? Let's see. Chapter 25. I'll just read it. Start with verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly. With his heart ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them: gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair, and ram skin dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplates. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. Was it from the tithe? It was a special offering, a sacrificial offering that every individual gave. Did they go borrow it from the bank? What I'm saying, we're going to be constructing something before long. I don't want to be in bondage to the system. I don't want to be entangled with Babylon. I will if that's what it takes, but I don't want to be. What is the scriptural way to construct a tabernacle for God to dwell in? All right. Doing good. 36, chapter 36. I'm nearly through. I promise you. Then wrought Beazel and Haloab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the services of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. And what's that saying? The individuals, after they brought all the materials necessary to construct this structure, but then the men came and constructed it. And Moses called Beazel and Haolab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the services of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the services of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment. Can you imagine this? And they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. Is that a vision for God? Whew. For the stuff, I like that, stuff. For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. People, I believe we can do that. I believe we can dig a footer. I believe we can lay a foundation. I believe we can do the construction. I believe we can bring it and bring it and bring it and build it and build it and build it and get such a fire going within us. That's enough. It's enough. Wow. Are you as crazy as I am? Wow. We haven't missed it yet. Everything we have done has been right down this book. Let's try our best not to leave it. Okay? Amen.